Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear, so that we may hear from your word, through your word, the loving voice of our God. And when we hear your word, let our faith grow and let all of us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us, that we may give all the glory to him and give him thanksgiving. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and that your people will hear your word and understand and believe and obey what your word proclaimed to us. We thank you and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are still at verse 2, and let me read that to you once again. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. As we have seen already through verse 2, we are learning about who and what is Christian. We have already seen that a Christian is a person who is in Christ. And the Christians are the saints. We saw that last week. Verse 2 also tells us that the Christians are faithful brethren. And that's what we're going to look at today. That's today's sermon. You and I are faithful brethren. Again, from the very beginning, let me repeat this. I will be repeating this a lot. Jesus Christ is not telling us to be faithful brethren. He's telling us that we are. Whether you feel like it, whether you understand it, whether you actually live like it, maybe you don't. But still, if you are Christian, then we are together as Christians. We are faithful brethren. This is what Christ has done and what Christ has accomplished for us. That's why Bible, and let me say it this way, who we are and what we are is determined by what Jesus Christ has done. And that you really need to get it. This world tells you who you are is depending upon what you do. The things that you do out there, or jobs that you have, or the accomplishments that you accomplish, those things determine who you are. That's what they say. Yes, those things determine who you are here on earth, but that's temporary. It's only for a few years. But who you are eternally is determined only by Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. This is why we learn from the Bible who we are, so that we may live as such. Because without you believing that, there's no way you're going to live as such. The very first thing is that you believe what the Bible tells you, because this is God's word. Faithful brethren. The word faithful can be seen in two ways. First, in John chapter 20, verse 27, the background is Jesus is resurrected, but Thomas still doubts it. He doesn't believe that Jesus is resurrected. And Jesus appears to him and say, touch my hand and my side, and that's the background. Let me read to you John chapter 20, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. The word that is translated as a believing is the same word that we see, faithful. So we could translate our verse as not faithful brethren, but believing brethren. We are believing people. We are the believers. But what do we believe? Because if we just say we are the believers, then there might be confusion, because everybody in this world, even the non-Christians, they believe something. Even when they say, I don't believe in God, they believe that there is no God. That's their faith. That's their belief. So when we say we are the believers, what do we believe? Well, we believe God's word. And when we say we believe in God, we believe God according to His word. Not some God that we make up in our sinful minds, but we believe in God that the Bible tells us. Faithful in Christ believe Jesus Christ and His word. We believe Jesus Christ, but only according to His word. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, never promised His people that they will be rich in this world, for example. So if you believe Jesus, but your Jesus is somebody that you believe who will make you rich in this world, then that's not real Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. He might make you rich. He might. But He never promised that. But if you believe in Jesus, who you think that has promised that you will be rich or you will be healthy in this world, then that Jesus is not according to the Bible. So when we say we are the believers, it's not just you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ according to the Bible. And faithful does not mean that he or she is moral and ethical in a worldly sense. It does not mean worldly good. Because even non-Christians, they are worldly good. Many times, in the worldly standard, non-Christians are better than Christians. And I say this not to put people down, but just to make a point. There are many, many worldly good people in hell. That's not what makes us Christian. And of course, we need to be good as a Christian. Definitely, we need to try to be good. But just being good in a worldly sense does not make us Christian. A faithful person believes in Jesus Christ and trusts Jesus Christ. He entrusts himself to Jesus Christ. A true, faithful, believing person does not just believe the existence of God. Even Cain believed in the existence of God. Cain, who killed his brother, I mean, God appeared to him and God talked to him. Think about this. Cain, we know he's not a believer, and yet he cannot deny the existence of God because God was right in front of him talking to him. So just because someone says, I believe in the existence of God, that does not make that person Christian. So when we say faithful brethren, that is not what it means. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Sarcasm here. The demons also believe and shudder. So there's one God, and there's God. Even demons believe that. So just because you could say that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. So those are not what it means to be faithful brethren, believing brethren. A true faithful person trusts Jesus Christ. He totally depends on Jesus Christ and entrusts himself to Jesus Christ. Cain never trusted God. He knew there was a God, but he never trusted him. He never gave everything to God, entrusted everything to him, and says, now I live by your will. He never did that, even though he knows there's God. Faithful means believing, but believing everything that the Bible says. Now, this word faithful also means trustable. Thus, he does not change. Faithful brethren, we don't change when it comes to how we believe and what we believe. Yes, in the beginning, understand Bible in a wrong way here and there, but we'll come to the truth by God's grace. But we don't like every single year our belief changes. That's how the world is. There, whatever they say they believe, it never remains. It changes. Trustable person. His faith does not crumble when he is faced with difficult times. Because he is faithful, he is trustable to the end. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are the faithful brethren. You must believe that. That we have become faithful brethren in Jesus Christ. This is our present reality. Not that he's saying to us that you will be like this, but you are already. And you might not feel like it, you might not act like it, but you first have to believe. Because it's by faith then your works will come out. Because if your work comes out not from faith, then that work is sin. Because everything apart from faith is sin. So even if you try to be a trustable person, you do your best in that, you might be just sinning. If you're trying hard to be or trying hard to act like a good person, if that is not coming, flowing out from your faith, that you are already a faithful person in Jesus Christ. Again, and I'm not going to be tired saying this to you, our Lord is not telling us to be faithful brethren. That you are, he's telling us. Of course, we were not this way before the salvation. We were not faithful, brethren. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6b asks, who But who can find a trustworthy man? Obvious answer is no one. No one is trustable. Who can you trust in this world? Ultimately, no one. Only Jesus Christ, and of course the Father and the Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ, He is faithful. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, about Jesus Christ, it says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. So Jesus is called the faithful. This true faithful made us faithful in Him. And one day, when we see Him face to face, this reality of us being faithful will be visibly consummated. Oh, when you see me in heaven, you could completely trust me. When you see me here, don't trust. I'm a sinner too, just like you. You are trusting Jesus Christ who lives in me, who is working to make me more like Him. You're trusting Jesus Christ who is with me, yes, and I'm trusting Jesus Christ who is working in you. Man, if God tells me to just trust people, then how can anybody do this? But I trust Jesus Christ who is in you. And He's working in you even now to make you more like Christ. I trust Him. And He will do exactly what He said in the Bible. He will do it in your life. But when we go to heaven, I could completely trust you and you could completely trust me. That's the kind of people that we have become already in Jesus Christ. Yeah, for 50, 60, 70 years, there are some times that we cannot trust each other. But after that, we will completely trust because we are faithful brethren. Jesus Christ has made us faithful brethren. We need to believe this. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Jesus is faithful. Thus, you being faithful, I could trust to the end of the eternity, because Jesus, who made you and who continued to make you and who will consummate you being faithful, He is faithful. God is faithful, and now we in Jesus Christ participate in His faithfulness. We must believe that we are faithful and in our lives witness that reality by living by faith. We must live a faithful life because no other reason than because we are faithful. But He continues, not only say we're faithful, He says we are the faithful brethren. In Jesus Christ, we have become brothers to one another. Now, you might not feel like it, or you may don't even want to. But we are brothers. That's what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And that reality will be visible once we go to heaven. But even now, you must believe. Even though you don't see it, you don't feel like it. Because we are believing people. We are brothers. Indeed, our amazing reality of heaven. John chapter 19, verse 25 to the 27. When he was dying on the cross, when Jesus was dying on the cross, by standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. To Mary, pointing to John, to Mary, that's your son. And to John, he says, that's your mother. Even as he dies on the cross, this is the utterance that he uttered on the cross. He says, your mother, your son. Right beneath the cross, we see the new family being formed. The eternal family, the heavenly family, the family of God is being formed right underneath the cross. Not by the blood of this world, because that's how we become family in this world, right? By blood. But not by the blood of the world, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. The eternal family of God is now formed. It is accomplished. John chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The earthly family is temporary, but the heavenly family is eternal. We must take care of the earthly family, of course. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So if you don't take care of your family, there are some men just, even though he's the head of the house, they don't do anything. They don't take care of the family. That kind of person should be disciplined by the church. He's worse than unbeliever, God says. But also, God says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 37, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Mark chapter 10, verse 29 through 30, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farm, along with persecutions, and in the ages to come, eternal life." So in order for you to follow Jesus Christ, if you left your brothers and sisters, mother and father and all this, God says, well, you have 100-fold. Because even here you could see that, see, earthly family-wise, I only have one brother, but heavenly family-wise, look at how many brothers I have. But he says you will receive 100-fold with persecution. And he doesn't sugarcoat things. He just say the truth. But we see truly an interesting thing here. Because the Bible tells us that Mary had other sons and daughters. The people who say that Mary is forever virgin are just wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. And yet, some people who call themselves Christian think that Mary is forever virgin. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 and 35, then his mother and his brother arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Answering them, he said, "Who are my mother and my brother?" Looking around at those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brother, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Don't you think Jesus is so rude? Think about this. He's sitting around with his disciples and they're you know, talking and he's teaching. And his mother and his brother comes. They're standing outside. They're saying, "We want to see Jesus." And Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my father? Who are my brothers?" And instead of going out to his mother, he looked at all these people and say, "They are my brothers and my mother and my father." Don't you think he's so rude? How can he do this? He's witnessing the reality of heaven. Now, the interesting thing is this, that Mary had other sons and other daughters. Don't you think that the other brothers and sisters of Jesus should take care of their own mother? Jesus had many brothers and many sisters, earthly, sharing the same mother. Don't you think that they need to take care of their own mother? What is Jesus doing pointing to John and says, "John, your mother, take care of her"? What is Jesus doing? Shouldn't he tell brothers and sisters of Jesus to take care of their own mother? But Jesus, in John, tells John to take care of mother. Thus he witnesses the reality of heaven. Because the true family, the eternal family, that's what he wants to show. We are faithful brethren because Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Because I am brother to Jesus and you are brother to Jesus, thus you and I, we are brothers. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus says to her, "Stop, cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, "For both he who sanctifies," Jesus Christ, "and those who are sanctified," you and I, "are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother. You know, in a human relationship, there might be your brother or sister that you are ashamed. You don't want anybody to find out that person is your brother or your sister. And yet Jesus Christ, knowing how sinful we are, knowing all those filth that we think and we do, he is not ashamed to call us his brother, his brethren. And here in our verse, as Paul, who is Jew, calling the Colossians, who are the Gentiles, brethren. This is amazing. That just the fact that Paul calls these Corinthian brothers, my brothers. And you know, Christians, we say things like, hey, brother. But don't just... That is truly your reality, that we are truly, actually brothers. Not just, you know, in a good way, we just call, hey, brother. That's not what we're doing. If you truly believe what the Bible tells us, that we are truly brothers. Paul, who is Jew, calling Colossians, who are the Gentiles, brethren, signaling the beginning of the new era in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the eternal heavenly family is accomplished. Believing Gentiles and believing Jews are now one in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. In Jesus Christ, we have become brothers, thus there's no dividing wall between you and me. It used to be like that. If you follow the patterns of this world, then there's always dividing wall. You and I, we cannot be truly brothers because we might be from different country. We might be from different economic status. We might be from whatever. There might be always be dividing wall. But all those walls, Jesus has made it come down. So we truly became one. In Jesus Christ, we are brothers, thus we must take care of one another. We must love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. You cannot say you love God when you don't love your brothers in Christ. We must love one another. Not just love one another in a worldly sense, but we must love one another because we are brothers in Christ. We will be forever brothers. Look around you. Everybody you see here, they are your brothers. We are one family of God, and we must witness that reality in our lives. How are we doing in that? Witnessing what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. In Genesis, after sin, we see the horrible thing. Horrible things that sinners do. And right off the bat, chapter 3 of Genesis, we see Cain killing Abel. A brother kills his brother. And God says, if you hate your brother, it's the same thing as murdering him. This is what sin looks like. This is what a sinner looks like. Our sin, yours and mine, have also killed our brother, Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. When Cain killed brother Abel, God comes to Cain and says, the Lord says to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And Cain says, he's the one who killed his brother, Abel. He says, I don't know. I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, brothers and sisters, God asks you the same question. He asks you, where is so-and-so, your brother? Will you answer, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Is that going to be your answer? No. Our brother, elder brother, Jesus Christ, kept us to the point of dying for us on the cross. We have become keepers of one another. Yes, we are our brother's keepers. You and I are called to participate in the life of Jesus Christ. We have become our brother's keeper. And this is who we are. And if you don't live witnessing that, then that's your sin. But even your sin cannot change the fact that we are brothers forever. I pray to God that this kind of message to you would not be burdensome to you. Oh, man, well, I need to really love everybody here, and that means I got to do this, I got to do that. It becomes a burden. Gospel is never a burden. I pray to God that this is the gospel to you. That it's the good news to you. That we're happy that we are brothers. And we're willing to take care of one another. To love one another. And I'm not talking about loving in the worldly sense. But truly love. That my concern for you is your sanctification. That's how I have loved you. It's not so much of helping you to succeed in this world, but so that you and I, we become more like Christ. That we pray for one another, for our sanctification. Let us pray for one another every day. And you know that, you know, in order for me to say that to you here, that I'm willing to do the same, and I'm already putting that practice, because we have to pray for one another. Because we are brothers. We are keepers of each other. Not to accept this is to reject God's word. Reject what Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. And you know that's not good. See what you have become in Jesus Christ. This is the life of heaven. Psalm 133 verse 1, how good and how pleasant is it for brothers to dwell together in unity. You know, God commands you. God doesn't beg you. But as a pastor, I beg you. Let us live like this, truly treating each other as brothers, carrying each other in our hearts, that you may know your brothers. Put some effort to have fellowship with brothers. Put some effort to show that you care. that it is your understanding that we are truly brothers. Let us witness that. And I don't think I'm asking anything that the Bible is asking. The Bible is not asking. Let us witness our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Let us show to the whole world how we are truly one family of God, how we have become brothers in Jesus Christ. Be happy and thankful. And remember your brothers as you live your life out there. Carry them in your hearts. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for what you have done and accomplished for us. We thank you that you have made us brothers in our true brother, Jesus Christ. Oh, he is truly our keeper. Let us be like him. Let us accept with thanksgiving and accept with joy what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. Let us understand that whom we choose to love is not our choice. God chooses for us. And whomever God chooses for us to be our brother, we are to love, no matter what. Let us truly live that obedient life to your will. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.